Lesson 12. A Prison Without Bars. In a puppet play for children, Sally, one of the puppets, enters and places a marble in a basket, then leaves. Moments later, Anne, the other puppet, enters, removes the marble, and hides it in a box. When the children who are watching the play are asked where Sally will look for the marble when she returns, most of them can infer that she will go to the basket, even though it is empty. They understand that Sally is unaware of Anne's action. However, children who are autistic usually answer that Sally will go to the box, because that is where the marble is. They cannot put themselves in Sally's place. They lack the ability to understand another person's thought processes. Mental isolation is the cardinal feature of autism, which affects roughly one person in 1,000. The Sally-Ann test is one of the methods used to detect this condition. In one form of autism, people are unable to communicate with others. Those impaired in this way live their lives cut off from human contact. In another, milder form, people are able to develop the faculty of speech and may even manifest extraordinary skills in some areas, memorizing the contents of a telephone directory, for example, or solving incredibly complicated mathematical problems in their head. In 1947, Temple Grandin's parents thought they had a perfectly normal baby girl, until at 6 months, she began to show the first signs of this strange and incurable condition. Children normally seek solace from their parents when they are hurt or upset, but Temple seemed to lack this very human trait. Her body would stiffen when she was picked up, and as she got older, she would struggle to get free when she was held. When she could not have her own way, she would fly into a rage. In 1950, when she was 3, she still showed no signs of learning to talk. Doctors told Temple's parents that their child was autistic and that she should be put into an institution. At that time, the study of autism was less than 10 years old, and many specialists in the field believed that it was brought about by bad parenting. According to the specialists, if parents failed to satisfy a child's emotional needs, they caused the child to withdraw into her own private world. Although there was no credible evidence to support this view, it remained in vogue for years. The theory had pernicious effects on parents, who suffered greatly from the idea that they were bad caregivers. Not until the 1960s was this theory discredited by the discovery that autism is caused by defects in the brain present before birth. More recent studies have revealed that this condition can also be triggered by certain childhood diseases, such as German measles. Temple Grandin was fortunate. Instead of putting her into an institution, as doctors had recommended, when she was 3, her parents sent her to a special school. There, in spite of the early absence of speech, Grandin was able to learn to speak and read. Scientific and technical writing appealed to her because it is literal and does not require the intuition necessary to enter another person's thoughts or feelings, as novels and poetry do. In her autobiography, Emergence, Labeled Autistic, published in 1986, Temple Grandin writes about the harrowing childhood experience of seeming to be locked in an invisible prison. She describes how she overcame the adversity of her condition and eventually became a professor of animal science at Colorado State University. Her specialty is designing systems for animal management, and she is the author of a number of treatises on animal behavior and on autism. In addition, she is in great demand as a public speaker. Despite creating a successful life for herself, Temple Grandin still feels cut off from other people. She says she feels like a visitor from another planet because she cannot empathize with people. Even natural phenomena that create strong feelings in others, such as the magnificence of a sunset or the immensity of a starry night, arouse no emotions or feelings in her. Only by carefully studying the nuances of human behavior and then by practicing a set of correct responses has she learned to relate to others. She ended a recent lecture by saying, "If I could snap my fingers and no longer be autistic, I would not. Because then I wouldn't be me. Autism is a part of who I am."